All right, so we're back for another fucking Sunday of shit shows. So did you watch the whole card? Did you see all of the fights?
I saw four of them.
Four fights. So you didn't see the main event.
Which one was the main event?
Israel Adesanya versus Alex Pereira. You saw that one. You saw the whole fight. You saw the finish.
Yeah.
Because I want to start with that. That's where I want to start, because I want everybody to understand that, like, everybody is talking mad shit about Alex, how he's a subpar, he's not really a great kickboxer and all this shit. You like how I did that? Pulled it right up, right to the fight?
Yeah.
The exact moment the fight began. That's how tuned up I am about this whole argument. Because what they don't understand is, Izzy dictated that whole fight. He won at least four rounds. He won at least four rounds in this fight. And he probably would have won the fifth. I say at least four rounds. Like,
how many rounds did it go?
It goes five, but it got ended in the it got stopped in the fifth. Izzy definitely won the first, and maybe he didn't win the second or the third, one of those, but he definitely won four rounds. But what you don't see is Izzy has had 5 years to acclimate to MMA, where Alex, his UFC debut was at MSG last November. He's had three prior UFC fights before fighting and winning the title.
That's impressive.
And he didn't win it by decision.
Is that the quickest, like,
second quickest, second, third maybe? Because I think Anderson did it in two fights. Anderson came out, fought, won his first fight, and the second fight won the belt. If I'm not mistaken, it's his second fight. We can look it up. But
how do they decide who goes against who?
Like, there is,
how do they make that decision?
There's a group of people within the UFC that do it.
Do you think
Sean Shelby,
smart about how they do it?
They can be smart about it. Depends on when you say smart, what is your reasoning?
Having put up well-made matches, you know, not.
Okay, but well-made under what circumstance?
Like, not putting up somebody who's only getting their first couple of fights in versus, like, and
dude, well. he's. I think he's.
I'm just wondering how they decide. Like, if
5-1. The guy in yellow here is 5-1, fighting for the most prestigious belt in middleweight mixed martial arts.
I'm curious how they make that decision to put somebody up against the champion.
Oh, real simple. See, the guy in yellow, he fought the guy in green twice in kickboxing. First time, beat him by decision. Second time, knocked him out.
Oh.
Was losing the decision and came out and knocked him out in the last round. And I think that goes to show that Izzy went to mixed martial arts, and Alex stayed in kickboxing and ran through the division. He ran through the light heavyweight division in kickboxing, and like he knocked everybody out, dude.
That's wild.
Yeah. So Izzy got really good at controlling the pace in a bigger ring or cage in this instance. And there's a lot more threats in mixed martial arts. So you got to be worried about the takedown, the clinch game,
MMA's
submissions. MMA is everything. So what you're seeing is Izzy using feints and everything else to control what Alex is able to do. And even with Izzy doing that, and Izzy's one of the best. He's going to be one of the greatest of all time. He's going to probably be the best middleweight of all time in mixed martial arts. That's how good he is. And Alex knocked him out. Alex Pineda knocked him out in the fifth round. With 3 minutes left to go in the fight, clipped him with the left hook and sent him into the ninth round. And, like, not like you would send anybody else into the ninth round. Not like Frankie Edgar earlier in the night. Did you see that fight? Frankie Edgar got kneed in the face, woke up, and didn't know what happened.
I'm bad at remembering names.
It was his retirement fight.
I don't remember names, Christian.
His name, he got kneed. It was a jumping knee, and he got kneed in the face.
Show me that fight.
No, this happened last night, the same night that this happened. It was one of those fights. There was so many. I think there was some like 7 or 8 first round knockouts, which is the most in UFC history in an event. But the knee was perfectly placed. But what you're seeing in this whole fight is Izzy's not letting Alex do what he wants to do. And Izzy won the whole fight until he got knocked out. And as much shit as everybody's giving Alex about the fight, nobody's talking about who is. The only way to beat him is to wrestle him. That's the only way to beat him. You have to wrestle fuck that guy.
Uh-huh.
You can't beat him standing up. Nobody can.
Who, Izzy?
No. Well, Izzy too, yeah. But, and Izzy, you can't wrestle fuck. People have tried. They can't wrestle fuck him.
You can't wrestle fuck.
You can't wrestle fuck. All right, so I'm using the term wrestle fuck as when somebody decides to just hold you down and point you out in a fight. That happens a lot in mixed martial arts. I call it wrestle fucking because they don't really do too much. They punch you in the face a few times. They go for some bullshit submission attempts that they're not really fully committed to. And they don't get to tap, and they do this for 3 rounds because they can take you down and keep you there. They wrestle fuck you. Like, and that's the only way you're going to beat Alex, dude. There ain't nobody in the middleweight division that can stand up with him. You have to wrestle fuck that guy or tap him. And the thing about this is he trains with one of the best light heavyweights in the world, Glover Teixeira. And he's a Brazilian jiu-jitsu master. He could tap out anybody. So soon, give it a couple years, you're not going to be able to wrestle fuck that guy. Because he's going to be good on his back. He's going to be good on top. He's going to be good in side mount. He's going to get good at everything. And you're going to be, yeah, this was good. That was the end of the first round. Izzy clipped him at the end of the first round, but he couldn't do it again. He couldn't, like, really put him in serious danger like that again. Just so we're clear, we're rewatching UFC 281. And I went straight to the main event. Israel Adesanya versus Alex Pereira. You see what they're doing here? See them pushing on the top lip like that?
Yeah.
That's to help wake him up. That's a pressure point.
Holy shit.
He's not bleeding from his ear. He got cut on the ear when he got hit. But Izzy, the entire fight, Izzy is afraid of his power. You can see it in the way that he moves. He's not moving the way that he normally does. There wasn't too much showboating in the beginning. In the beginning of Izzy's fights, he showboats a lot. I really don't like him. I'm not an Israel Adesanya fan, but he is the best middleweight in the world. He's better than Alex. And the problem with mixed martial arts is it's a spectrum. And I told somebody this today. I was like,
what percentage of it is luck?
Like, it's different every day.
Because that's the thing. It's like, how do you determine like a level of what might be lucky and what might not?
Come on, B. What would be luck would be like if you're losing a fight and the guy winning blows his ACL. And that does happen in a fight.
What about like lucky shots?
Lucky shots? Alex Pereira knocking out Israel Adesanya in round 5. Relax. It's okay. And Leon Edwards clipping. But see, it's not really luck. It's a lot of trained skill. You know, like that left hook that he's going to use in the 5th round to knock him out, that left hook is something he trains every day in the gym. It's not luck. It's trained. Your trained skill. The luck of it is that the other person's face is where you want it to be because they're so good at it. Like Kamaru Usman's good at not getting punched in the face. He's good at not getting kicked in the face. Fucking Israel Adesanya is the best in the world at not getting hit in the face. The only other person that I could say isn't good at moving out of the way of the punches. He's good at making sure his opponent doesn't get to hit him, and that's Hazmat Shamayev. That's because he went 4 fights without getting punched once.
That's insane.
Yeah, but that's because he came out and just put them the fuck out. Like, you don't understand. There's dudes in the middleweight division that can step in the cage and just knock people out. But is it because the people that they're fighting are so far below them? Or can they do that to anybody? They didn't give. Hamza Chimaev deserved the fight more than Alex Pereira. Yeah, he jumped back between, you know, middleweight and welterweight, but like he deserved to fight more. He spent more time in the UFC. He's got more recognizable wins. But they gave it to a dude who's got personal beef for the sake of selling the fight. And now Alex is the champion, which I don't think that they thought would happen. And Hamzat Shamayev is calling him out. And I think that Hamzat Shamayev will fucking murder him. I think Hamzat hits just as hard as him, and he's got wrestling. He can wrestle fuck you. I don't see him. Who are you going to let him fight? I love watching him fight in the fights that I've seen him. 185 pounds. He's in that cage right now. That guy in the yellow, he's 225 pounds right now. He's in that cage at like 225 pounds. He's fucking huge for the division. Obscenely large and unstoppable.
You said 100, so it's 185 to 225?
No. The division is max weight 185 pounds, but that's what you have to weigh at the weigh-in the day before. So if you can cut all that weight in a healthy way and you can come back, you can really be like as heavy as you want. Some dudes get big like him. He's big, bro. Alex is big.
That's yellow, right?
Yeah, yellow. The guy who's Brazilian. I would say the white guy, but he's not white. Israel Adesanya, oof, is, I think it's Nigeria and New Zealand. The two countries he hailed from. He's got Africa on his chest, and it says Broken Nation from shoulder to shoulder on his chest. I don't know what it says on his back, but they see the other thing that Alex does is he utilizes the calf kick the entire fight to slow down Israel Adesanya's movement to land the shot in the fifth round. That's the other thing, and like the only person who ever mentioned it so far is Izzy. Nobody's talked about it. Like, Alex implemented a good plan, and he was getting beat up, but he stuck to his plan and landed his shot, and his plan was successful. His plan the whole time was the left hook. And you could see it because if you watch his left fucking hand, he's throwing it the whole night. He's throwing calf kicks. He's throwing the left hook. He's setting him up with the right jab. He's doing it all. Izzy switching stance, dancing around. After Izzy clips him in that first round, Izzy starts moving more confidently and really understands, like, he could point him out in this fight, and he could even knock him out. And everybody always said Izzy didn't have knockout power, but he's knocked a few people out, and he does have knockout power. But I think Alex hits harder. See? Left hook. I think Alex just hit harder, and he hit harder that night. And Alex kicked Izzy in the head, like, 3-4 times that whole fight. See the way that Alex is bopping, and then he gets low? When he gets low, he's looking to come up with the left hook. He's looking to make it look like he's going for the body and then hit you in the head. He gets the takedown. You don't know how rare, like how crazy it is to see this guy do that. That's just to win the round. That was just to win the round. If the fight goes to decision, Alex Pereira won that round because of the takedown. We just watched the end of the second round where Alex takes down Izzy, which is really weird. Look at that right titty. You see how oddly shaped that is? There's something wrong with his right pec. Where his left pec has like the good, perfect shape, but his right pec doesn't. It's got like
he blew it out at some point.
I don't know what it is, but he's not telling anybody, and it's something Monk. I've watched ever since it happened in his career. I'm kind of obsessed with his boob. I'm not even joking, dude. Like, every time I see a picture of him, I'm like, are they blacking out that titty again? You know? Like, what's going on with it? I would love to just, like, I wish I was inside on the MMA community so that he can be like, you can't say anything to anybody, but like, you know, like it's a tumor, but it's not cancerous, you know? So I'm just not cutting it out. I'm just letting it stay there. You know? Like, I wish I was one of those guys that talk to people in the community.
That would be cool.
You know? This is happening in New York at MSG. Okay? I built the post office across the street, motherfucker. Like, why wasn't I there? Made me so sad.
I'd have gone with you.
I wish, dude. It's so expensive.
How much?
Where I want to sit, like $10,000 a seat, bro. You see where those cameramen are? I want to be right behind them.
That'd be like, so cool.
I'm not some fair weather fan. This is I have three sports. This, hockey, and Formula One. They're my three sports. Like, if I'm gonna go to this, which I've never been to, I want to be right there, dude. I want blood on me at the end of the night.
Like, I mean, obviously.
Yeah, like I.
It's like when you go to see fucking a whale, you want to get splashed.
I mean, if I don't necessarily want to go see a fucking whale. That sounds stupid. I always like, what happens if the whale accidentally hits the boat?
That's almost happened to Mom and Dig.
Yeah. See, did they know how to swim?
Mom and Dig know how to swim.
Do they know how to swim in almost freezing water?
Dig will drag Mom. He's been in freezing water before.
Okay, fair enough. Because I just feel like, you know, a whale might make your boat sink. I don't think it's common, but I feel like it could happen, and I don't have good luck. Boom, Izzy initiated his first ever takedown in the UFC. What he should have did was just take the back and submitted him right then and there. He takes the back. He almost gets it. But for some reason, he doesn't seem like he knows how to put hooks in. Which is where, like, Israel Adesanya would have taken his legs and wrapped them onto the inside of Alex's legs. That's called the hooks. And then once you get your hooks in, you can really control a guy who doesn't know how to defend that. And he really doesn't. And this is what I mean. You wrestle fuck this guy. You don't even need to finish him. You could drag this fight out for 5 rounds. Just take him down at the beginning of every round. You just got to survive that left hook, dude. See, he's trying to get the leg in. He doesn't know how to. Boom, there's one hook. Out. Look, look. Doesn't know how to. Does not know how to defend the hooks properly. Or you could have just went for the triangle. Like, you could have body triangled it. There was just so many options that, like, you can tell both of these guys really haven't worked too much. If any, at Brazilian
Jiu-Jitsu. Is Israel Adesanya going to challenge Pereira again?
Oh, there's going to be an immediate rematch. Israel Adesanya is the UFC's cash cow. Alex Pereira doesn't speak English. Okay? Let's be fucking fair. How many guys who have held the belt in the UFC don't speak English? And how long have they held the belt? Ask yourself that question, because I know for a fucking fact it wasn't too long.
Yeah, but...
Anderson spoke English. He lived in fucking California, all right? He didn't live in Brazil. He was welcome in Brazil. Everybody loved him in Brazil, but he didn't live in Brazil. GSP spoke English. John Jones spoke English. All of them spoke English. Fucking the God of War doesn't speak a lick of English, refuses to speak English. He didn't keep the belt for long.
The MMA fighter goes by the God of War?
That's his nickname. His name is fucking...
Does he look like
Davison Figueiredo. He dyes his hair, so he's got a red streak going through blonde hair. He's a tiny little man, but he's scary as fuck. Bro, he's scary to watch fight, dude.
All these guys are scary to watch fight.
No, a lot of them are not scary to watch fight at all.
I wouldn't fight any of them.
I wouldn't fight any of them, but there are men that are like, if you were to see them live, you would be afraid that they're going to jump out of the cage and fight you because of the way they're moving. And, like, that guy's one of them. Alex is, like Israel Adesanya and Alex, they are composed. They strike with power and force and speed, but they are, they look in control. There are dudes who go out there swinging that you're like, these motherfuckers don't look like they're in control of themselves at all. Those guys are scary. Those guys are scary to watch fight. It's like watching a bear fight. Like, you don't know what the fuck's gonna happen. I was biting my fucking teeth at this point in this fight. I was so mad. I was like, why the fuck are they on the ground? You guys don't know how to fight on the ground.
That's probably why they're on the ground, because they both know it's uncharted territory.
Yeah, but look, look, look. Izzy's not going for a single submission. But Alex, from the back, he's gone for an arm bar. He went for a knee bar.
Izzy was just trying to drag him out.
Yeah, he's just trying to drag it out, dude. And that's the difference, because Izzy knows he's knocked me out and he can do it again. And Alex isn't afraid of that. He knows it can happen, but he's not afraid of that. He's like the Chinese lady that you saw fight last night.
Yeah.
I don't know if you heard her, but at one point she said, I don't go in the fight thinking about anything else. It's not about my career, my record, the belt. She goes, I go in there with a warrior's mindset.
Makes sense.
Like, it's kill or be killed out there. My fucking shitty neighborhood. The fight was great, but it wasn't like the highlight of the... And oh, by the way, Zhang Wei Li tapping out Carlos Esparza is fucking glorious. Okay? Okay. That was a great fight. That was just, Michael Chandler versus Dustin Poirier. I don't care what anybody says. Watching Michael Chandler cheat and still lose is glorious. This is the fight I was talking about. This is the knockout right here. Frankie Edgar is in a retirement fight and they put him up against like a fucking killer. This guy that he's fighting, dude, he's known for blasting people into a fucking other realm. And he does it to Frankie Edgar, like. And I know it's Frankie Edgar's retirement fight. Give him what he wants. If he really wants to go out on a shield like that, like, let him. Like, shut the fuck up. No. That's the man's brain. Okay? Give him a goddamn, a dude who's 1-0 in the UFC, never fucking really been in too much danger in the UFC, and let Frankie have fun in his last fight. Let it be a challenge, but not a fucking murder scene like it was. Bro, this fight was bad. This was bad in my opinion. Everybody knew that it was going to happen. They knew that it was going to happen early on in the fight. And Frankie Edgar winning by knockout was at close plus 1,100. Wow. Frankie, the other guy, Gutierrez, winning by knockout plus 125. Which means, like, it's on odds like that, like, it's probably going to happen. Frankie Edgar to win by decision, a $10,000. You know how upset that guy was? Somebody bet $10K on Frankie Edgar to win by decision. Would have won $45,000. That's ridiculous.
God damn.
But that was never going to happen. That was never going to happen. Yeah, people are... See the tweets on the side? It just wasn't anything that I thought should have... It shouldn't have happened this way. I love seeing him fight, too. That's the thing. He's fucking fast, dynamic. He comes in with power and speed and heavy combinations, and he's got heavy hands. But he's also got one of the weakest shins in the UFC. And everybody knew that. Everybody fucking knew that, dude. Oldest fighter on the card. He's one of the oldest fighters on the roster, dude. There's not many guys older than 41 on the roster.
200 dog, 240 fade mean?
All right, so if to win $100, you would have to bet $200, $240 on the favorite. And if you bet $100 on the dog, you would win $200 on top of that. That means that it's really unlikely that he's going to win. And it's really likely that Chris Gutierrez is going to win the fight. It's just not fucking fair. It wasn't right. I enjoyed seeing it because obviously I was smart enough to put money on Chris Gutierrez to win by knockout in the first round. I wish I had the option to win by a flying knee because I probably would have taken it just for fun. I don't even think it was a flying knee. I think it was just an up knee. Like, it was just an upward knee. Like, he just blasted him. And this is the thing. They're both fighting out of Jersey.
That's wild.
And at that point in the night, I think it was... You were 2-1 on New York or New Jersey fighters winning their fight. And he was the next guy. Like, it's just... It wasn't right that it was Frankie Edgar's fucking retirement fight and they put him up against a killer. It was good to watch it, though. And it was nice that they made him the red corner. He holds the record for the most time inside of a UFC octagon in history. And I think, like, most significant strikes absorbed, which just showed you that he was going to get fucking blasted. There was an earlier fight in the night, Dominic Reyes, that everybody was betting Dominic Reyes to win by knockout. And I'm sorry, but Ryan Superman Span is called Superman for a fucking reason, okay? And he threw a jab to fucking Dominic Reyes' chin, and it just, he was out before he hit the mat. He took two hammer fists after that and went to sleep. This one's a bad knockout too, though. And, like, you see the way that Frankie's moving? He's still moving like he's like 22 years old. He moves so good. He's always, like, got that good...
Frankie's blue, right?
No, Frankie's in black. Oh. He's always got, like, that good... He doesn't just move straight. He moves at a good angle, too. Like, he takes a couple steps straight, and then you'll see him... Oh, he's always going to correct himself and start moving at an angle at you. The guy in blue, he's a phenomenal fucking boxer. These guys can fucking fight, man.
Boxers?
A lot of what this is boxing, you know, like you're standing there and you're just trading strikes, especially if you're just punching. It's just boxing. But if you like the way that Frankie moves,
people have died boxing.
Yeah, plenty of people have died boxing. Some dude's in a coma right now.
It's insane.
It's one of the oldest fucking sports there is.
I know it is. That's just terrifying. I couldn't step into the ring.
It's not an accumulation of punches in one night. It's an accumulation of punches over a career. It's a lifetime thing. You could train for 4 years and get into one boxing match. And, like, it can happen. But more than likely, boom. That's how quick that was.
I missed that.
Yes, you were looking at me. You weren't even like, it wasn't even like you were gone. You didn't go to the bathroom. You didn't walk away. You turned your head. That's how fast it happened. Bang. See that?
Yeah.
That upward knee, that's it. He's stiff as a fucking bone.
That's insane.
Bro, you could grab, look at him. How do you do that? How do you do that to somebody? Dana White, serious fucking question. Why would you let them do that? I understand if he wasn't retiring and he was like, I'm going for another title run. All right, motherfucker, here's a killer. I get it. It's a different mentality. You know what I mean? But if you're going to retire, you send that man out with grace. How would you do it in our trade? You would send the man out with grace. You would not fucking send him to the wolves.
Yeah.
He's crying. He's crying. He won and he's crying. That's how much it meant.
He was blue, right?
Yeah, the guy in blue won. It was a fucking wild night, dude. Everybody was getting knocked out. Fucking Molly McCann tapped Crucif. She got tapped. Who else? You said that you watched the fight with the two Spanish with that. Well, no, it was a Spanish girl. It was a girl from like Guatemala and a European girl. The European girl beat the fucking shit out of her the whole time.
I know I saw one fight that ended in a choke.
Ooh, Asian lady? That was a title fight.
Yeah.
Zhang Weili. No joke. Got the shit beat out of her by Rosnam Yunus twice, though. You can tell that the night was built around Israel Adesanya and that nobody knew what was going to happen. Izzy had a big fur coat. Like, he was ready to win. He thought he was going to win. And it just didn't happen. It was like one of those upset victories. You needed the knockout of the year. And he fucking got it.
Wasn't there a fighter who came out of the special forces, beat his way through UFC, and then went back into the PJs?
I don't know. You'd have to look that up. That's why that little fun device is in front of you with Google pulled up. You know, that's spyware.
Well.
Yeah. Yeah, look it up. Let's find out. I wonder what I can do on this while this is all going on. Probably whatever I want still, right? There's been plenty of fighters that went from the special forces to like the UFC, but they don't really train, they don't really cross dynamics too well. Like being trained to be a killer and being a professional fighter, the dynamics don't cross over exactly how everybody would think. You know what I mean?
Mm.
Oh, Mirko Krokop. Yeah. I know what you're talking about. You're talking about Mirko Krokop. Now that I'm thinking about it, he's the one and only dude who was a KGB agent, if I'm not mistaken, and then went on to become a fucking glorious kickboxer.
Show me some of his stuff.
Let's find some Mirko Krokop for everybody. He's got, you know what? I don't even need to show you the fight. I could show you his stare down, and you could see the scariest man in the world. His stare down is that of a man who has killed another human being with a knife. That's the best way.
He's ex-KGB.
Yeah, that's the best way to describe him. Mirko Krokop. I don't know if that worked that way. Not what I wanted, you fuck. I might be shut off on this TV so that I can't do that. I don't know how to spell Mirko. Hold on, I'm gonna get it because he's probably gonna come right up. Oh, you bitch. M-I-R-K, alright. See, this is bad. I can't believe you don't know who Mirko Krokop is.
I don't remember names.
Bro, he has some of the scariest kicks of all time. And, like, the thing about it is like, he is a real... Ooh, yes. No, that's not what I want. There we go. Okay, so before I play this for you, just so we're clear, this has been described on a bunch of different podcasts as one of the meanest stare downs ever. What you're going to see is you're going to see Wanderlei Silva, who ends up going to the UFC and being one of the scariest motherfuckers in the world on TRT, like legally on TRT in the UFC.
Legally be on TRT.
You could have at one point in time. They removed it, and it's just not allowed anymore. But him and Mirko Krokop have a stare down, and Wanderlei Silva has always won all of his stare downs. Nobody has ever beat Wanderlei Silva in a stare down except for Mirko Krokop. Because let me finish. Just let me fucking paint this damn picture. Mirko Krokop has killed people with his bare fucking hands. Okay?
He's
ex-KGB. Wanderlei Silva has intimidated every fighter he has ever fucking fought by being the crazy, scary guy who's just always moving, ready to go, like angry, ready to fight anybody at any point in time. But here's the problem when you're facing a guy like Mirko Krokop.
He's ready to kill.
No, they want things like that, but they won't show you. They'll just... So what you're going to see is Wanderlei just completely get outmanned by someone else. The one and only time he's ever lost a stare down. Wanderlei Silva was by far, there's guys I would rather fight from the UFC than stare down Wanderlei Silva. There's always, MMA history is filled with great stare downs. Great stare downs. Scary looking motherfuckers. None of them beat this. Wanderlei's looking for the weakness. He's looking for it. And Mirko's thinking in my head, I could just kill you. I could kill you. You could fight me all you want, but if you gave me a weapon, I would kill you. Any weapon. Give me a broomstick. How about a pencil? You know the thing from John Wick? Is that a thing yet? The thing from John Wick? A pencil. A pencil, and I'll fucking murder you. Bro, and the fight is fucking ruthless. Holy shit. Can we get that fight?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we can. I gotta get like Fight Pass back. Yeah, but I don't see that's.
Well, no. The other one was.
Mirko Krokop versus Mark Hunt. What?
It's the highlights.
And this is the thing. Wanderlei Silva was on all the steroids. He was on all the Mexican supplements, bro. All of them. If you would give it to a horse, he was probably fucking on it. Dude, he was on tank. And Mirko Krokop also had that, like, this head kick from death. Bro, he's not flinching. Look at him. His eyes are moving. As his body moves, his eyes are just going back and forth, back and forth. He's just watching him. Just watching him, like, just waiting for it. Like, yes, you're a tough guy. That's fucking great. You don't have a neck. That's cool. That's awesome. I kill people for Vladimir Putin, motherfucker. Like, do you not understand who you're getting? Look. Bop. His first fucking shot was a head kick. Look, my leg's here. And it doesn't matter. Wanderlei can be as mad as he wants. You can get as mad as you want, Wanderlei. That steroids, you can get as angry as you want. Because Mirko Krokop is going to keep his cool. He's going to chop at you like you're a tree. And his leg.
Worse than somebody's fists.
He's, yes. But this is the thing. That doesn't always translate. This is very rare that it translates. And this was in Pride, too. This was like, but there was no fucking real rules in Pride. They didn't give a fuck if you were on steroids in Pride. When Wanderlei came to the UFC, that's when he was on TRT. But they didn't care in Pride. There was supposedly contracts that said, don't ever sign anything saying you won't be taking steroids. Don't ever take a test for steroids. Oh, my God. This fight was so good. Like, boop, he took that kick to the fucking head. Do you know? Do you, like, I can't even. People have almost died from that kick to the head. Look at him smiling, facing Wanderlei Silva.
Because he knows that he almost killed him.
It's a different level of sick in the head. Boop, you know, that broke his ribs. That had to have broke a rib. Oh, yeah, you took me down. And that's the thing. His legs, not only did he have like giant kicks, his legs were like tree trunks. It was like actually getting hit with a tree trunk. Like, you're rolling down a hill, and this tree trunk, you just rammed your ribs into this tree trunk. That's what it was like getting kicked by this guy. And have you noticed, Mikko Krokop has not tried to take him down. He has just been beating the shit out of him the whole time. The whole time. And then hugs him. Then he's like, here's a little hug. Here's a little hug. Now I want to see the second fight. I don't care, Wanderlei Silva. And I don't know if you know, like, the history of Wanderlei Silva. Is he did the Ultimate Fighter with Chael Sonnen, and they fucking hate each other. He's from Croatia. That's the country.
That's where Nikola Tesla's from.
Yeah, well, Nikola Tesla invented shit. This guy killed people. There's a big difference. Oh my god, he's even bigger in the second fight. It's crazy. Wanderlei, he was such a huge man. Pride, I wish they would bring Pride back. Pride was so good.
You said there was a point where there was no rules, right?
There was, like, almost no rules. Like, you were allowed to head stomp. Like, there was a lot. You just, like, couldn't headbutt. I don't think you could hit in the nuts.
It's insane.
Yeah, I couldn't even. And it was only in, like, Japan. When the UFC goes to Japan, they clap. Motherfuckers, they're dead silent and they clap. It's so weird.
They've got a cool culture.
They got a really respectful culture. That's why Pride was so good to, like, watch and, like, to see this shit. Because, like, these guys were ruthless and they were, like, beat the shit out of each other. And, like, the country is just built off of respect. Bink! Bro, he was a murderer. Mikko Krokop was scary. But I think he was the only one. I think he was the only one, man. Everybody else that, like, really made it, they came from, like, they were fighters, you know? And, like, being a warrior and being a fighter, they're way different things.
Oh, yeah.
Like Mirko Krokop was a warrior. He's a warrior.
Well, there's being able to beat the shit out of somebody and there's being able to kill somebody.
No. But it's different than that. It's not that simple. Like, it's being a trained professional fighter and being a warrior. Being a warrior means that it doesn't matter where you are and what the conditions are, you are going to go to battle. And whoever you're going to battle against, they're going to have the hardest fucking time in their life. It's different. Like, being able to kill somebody, that's one thing. Mikko Krokop was a warrior. Every time he stepped in that ring, every time somebody stepped up against him, his fucking nose is caved in. He caved in Wanderlei Silva's nose. Every time somebody stepped in that ring against him, their life was truly on the line, and he wouldn't have even been trying to kill them. That's what I mean. He was unstoppable. He was a relentless force, and it all started with those kicks. Those kicks. Because if you can't get through them, you can't get to him. Such a good fucking fighter. Look, his nose is dented in. He dented in Wanderlei Silva's nose. Motherfuckers forget, bro. Motherfuckers forget. If Jiří Prochazka had to face a guy like that, he'd be fucked. Jiří Prochazka had a hard time with Glover Teixeira, who is a great fighter, one of the best. But Jiří Prochazka would have died fighting him. Jiří Prochazka is the light heavyweight champion of the world right now. And he took it from a 43-year-old Glover Teixeira. Okay? Like, I can't describe to you enough how long... This fight was 5 rounds before Jiří got to put the choke in. And it was a hard fight. You would have thought that Glover would have won the fight. I wonder what they're saying. Because that's been a long time to be in the corner. They really want Wanderlei to win. Look at him like, ew, I fucked him up, huh? Yeah, let's get the fight going, guys. Come on. The problem with mixed martial arts back then was, like, a lot of people were afraid, like, those rumors that you would hear, like, oh, you're breaking bricks. You know, you do the 12-6 elbow, you're breaking bricks. Mm-hmm. To break bricks, they thought that, like, you were, like, gonna cave someone's head in. So they made that an illegal move when it really just shouldn't have been an illegal move. He's got a tattoo on the back of his head. It should have never been like an illegal move. It should totally be allowed. John Jones should not have a loss on his record. Dude, his nose is caved in. They got the blood to stop, though, which is really surprising. Gave him plenty of time to fucking catch his breath. And he's going to go for an armbar, and Miracle Crocop's just going to stand up and get out of it because his fucking legs are so goddamn strong. He's got the legs of the fucking Hulk. You see how he's trying to bring his legs up and his hips up from the bottom? He's going to try and either put a triangle on his neck or go for an armbar. He's not even going to try to get out of this. He's not even going to try to stand back up because he does not want to deal with his striking. And Vanderlei Silva is not known for like any ground game at all. He's working his way to the edge. I can sit here and watch fights all day. I've been watching the old UFCs. I started at UFC 1. I watched it with the kids the other day.
That's awesome.
And then I'm in UFC 2 right now. I got the finals to finish. Which, just so we're clear, it's going to be Hoyce Gracie that wins. Just so everybody knows, it's like the 9th time I've done this. I'm going to watch as many of them as I can. I'm going to see how long it takes me to get to 281.
I mean, 281 is what? Every night?
281 is... That was the one that happened on Saturday.
What I mean, like, what is that, like, each night that they had the fight?
It's each pay-per-view.
Okay.
Pretty much. Like,
how long is each pay-per-view?
A couple hours.
Because I can tell you how long it would take you.
It all depends on how long the fights are. Like, there's 11 fights or 16 or 9. In the beginning, there was only 8 fights. Or 4. The first UFC, there was only 4 fights. There's only 8 fighters. You know? It was a very small bracket. The second UFC, there were 16 fighters. Math. Yeah, but... All right, it's not, though, because in the beginning, the UFC didn't have a time. It was one round, continuous, no judges, no stopping, till somebody tapped or was knocked out, or somebody threw in the towel.
Somebody's already done the math for that.
Yeah, I don't care about the math. I don't care how long it's going to take. You want to look it up, though? You can, sure. Go ahead. How long did it take to watch every UFC event there has been? So there's like, I think there's 60 or 61 fight nights. Dude, he looks like fucking Voldemort. He looks like a juiced up Voldemort. He's got no nose. And there's been 281 pay-per-views, if I'm not mistaken. So good luck figuring that shit out, bro. Because you got early prelims, main card. I want the UFC to implement the one more round rule. If there's no, make all fights 2 rounds, and if there's no clear, concise winner at the end of 2 rounds, have some old Japanese guy go, "One more round!" And that be how they decided. Whoever wins that round wins. I just think it would be the best way to do things. You'd get a lot more finishes in the first or the second round. He's really watching this dude's nose. I really wish this wasn't so pixelated. Oh, head kick knockout of Vanderlei Silva. He's bleeding out the side of his head. That's how hard he hit him. Did you see that?
No, I was trying to look something up.
Watch the head kick. It's gonna come from the left leg.
Ooh.
Knockout. Now ready? Watch. Boom. Bleeding out the side of the fucking dome piece. That's how hard he hit him.
Damn.
He split his fucking head open, dude. Either he split his head open or he split his leg open. One of the two, one of those things are bleeding from that contact.
Fucking cool. What do you think's going on through his head?
Thank God it's over. I want to go get laid. I don't know a lot. I think... If I was a professional fighter and I knocked, he's leaving. He's just walking away. He's like, fuck this, I'm done. I don't know what's going through his head.
Well, you study these guys.
He might still be thinking about the fight. He might be running and analyzing everything. Like, realistically, he might just be analyzing everything in his head, trying to figure out what just happened. It looked like they rushed him out of there really fast. Weird that they did that.
Fucked up.
No. They rushed Mirko Krokop out of there. He dropped Vanderlei Silva. Like, he knocked him out and he walked out. Oh, I know what's going through his head. Look at him. Just another night in the office. That, you saw that? The little kiss of the hand, yeah, and the mwah? That's just another night in the office. He's like, borscht. Yo, and end of that. Just, it's
that's
over.
What he's probably going to do is go home and eat borscht.
He's probably going to fuck Vanderlei's mom. It's a performance like that. You just got bullied, bitch. You better leave Pride and go to the UFC. And I think that might have been what happened. Yeah, Mirko Krokop. Like, scary.
Right there, every Mirko Krokop finish.
Okay, if you want to spend 10 minutes watching people get their head kicked in. That was that finish.
It's just terrifying.
It's so scary because there's no wind up for the kick. The way that he moves, if you watch his hips, like, you know that he's going to throw a kick. So just watch his hips. Normally a kick comes with wind up. He doesn't. He's standing in a position or he's moving.
And
he,
it just comes.
It goes. It doesn't go back. It just goes up. His arms don't move. There's no rotation in the hip. There's nothing. There's none. Like even his punches
kick is
have
disrespectful.
It. Yeah, his kick. Like, you notice his kick is coming because his hands go down. Like, if he's kicking with his left. Watch his left hand. His left hand will go down, but if I'm not mistaken, his right hand just stays up. Nope, his right hand goes down. He opens wide. Wow, he opens real wide. Motherfuckers just gotta have some balls. Just have some balls and just.
That's probably all he does is look for the moment for that.
He does. He spends the whole fight looking for the kick. Watch. He's looking for it now. He's got Vanderlei beat up. This is the fight we just watched.
Yeah. Bink.
Done. You're out fucking cold. Oh no, that blood was there.
Everybody probably bets on that kick.
I mean, I would imagine they would have. I think Japan let you gamble on him, too. Let you gamble on them. This is old. All this is old. I wonder where that blood was coming from, because it doesn't look like there's a cut on his head. But Pride also... Oh, my God. Why'd you throw that punch,
that
dude? What the fuck? He kicked him in the head. Usual Mirko Krokop kick, and then was just like, left Bank. Hook. I don't like your mask. See, the thing about Pride was, is there were some really fixed fights in Pride. There were some fights that were just clearly just looked so fixed. I don't know if you would say any of Mirko Krokop's fights looked that way, or
when
if they were.
When was he fighting?
In the 90s, man. A long time ago. I think maybe the early 2000s. But I believe in the 90s, too. This was my favorite thing.
He's a bully.
Well, you were allowed to do that in Pride. You were allowed to do that in Pride and in the old UFC.
When did they stop letting you just...
I don't know. I don't remember the old UFC, like, back then. I remember it, like, now. I remember, like where I was watching it and who I was watching it with. But, like, I don't remember,
when
like,
did
details.
Stop fighting?
I don't remember. He did make it to the UFC. He fought Pat Barry. That's Rose Namajunas' pedophile boyfriend. Quote me on that shit. Had to be sometime after 2010. I would guess. I'm guessing. Yeah, I forgot that he fought Pat Barry. Oh, he's going to knock him out on the ground. Seconds left in the third round. Oh, no, he chokes out Pat Barry. Jesus Christ.
He last, looks like 2019 was his last fight.
Oh, my God, he fought forever. So that was the early 2000s, those Pride fights. So this guy that he's fighting right here, this is Pat Barry. There's pictures of Pat Barry, like, in his 20s. with like a 13-year-old Rose Namajunas, and now they're dating. He like, remember how I told you about that? Mm-hmm. And what did you say? What did you say? What was the word? He was like 19, 20, and she was like 13 years old, and they were training together. And then at some point they started dating, and they're together now. Not Miro, the guy that he was fighting before this guy, Pat Barry. Pat Barry is dating Rose Namajunas, and I mean, like, I'm 99% sure he groomed. That was the word you used. You said he groomed her.
Yeah.
Yeah, he groomed her. I'm pretty sure he did. And she's like my favorite female fighter, which makes it so sad because he's so ugly. Like, such an ugly motherfucker. UFC 67. He's in UFC 67. Not Pat Barry. Mirko Krokop. Now I feel like Mirko Krokop should have kicked Pat Barry in the fucking head.
First UFC stint. But then he left UFC, returned, left again, went, and then came back to MMA.
Where did he go when he left UFC?
So he left, so he had his first stint in UFC in around 2006 was when he came around.
So this is prior to 2006. All the prize fights.
He made his debut at UFC 67.
Oh, that Saturday, was his day of view.
Third. Hey, that's my birthday.
That was his debut. We just saw his debut in the UFC.
Cool.
Oh, look at the Imanari roll.
Then after UFC, he went to Dream.
Ill.
Returned to UFC.
I think Dream is a mistake.
For UFC 99.
Okay. Oof, god damn it. Why do you gotta kick him in the head like that, dude? He's the
retired
way that he
retired from MMA and kickboxing. In his final fight was final fights them. His first retirement was in 2012.
And he came
then
back.
Then returned to MMA in 2012 again.
That's hilarious. Every
then he
fighter
retired again and went to UFC again.
Ooh, there's the head kick.
In 2015.
He was such a great fighter.
He needed to fight something.
Yeah, he just always needed to fight something. And like all of this is after a career in the military.
Yeah. So he had a third stint for UFC Fight Night 64 in 2015.
Nice.
Then he retired. His retirement fight. From MMA, anti-doping violation. This is fight in 2015 for Fight Night 79.
Yeah, no shit. He was on fucking steroids. He fought in Pride, guys. Like, everybody that came over from Pride, they all need to be tested thoroughly. They were all part of an organization that was allowed to do steroids.
He returned to MMA again. To Rizin.
Rizin.
Rizin Fighting Federation.
Yeah.
Oh, that's the, like, just all-out brawls.
Yeah. Now it is. And, just so we're all clear.
I wonder if that's what he did in that fight, was just walk around and knock people out.
No, I don't think he took part in the five-on-fives. He beat the shit out of Cain Velasquez.
He said he was part of a 16-man open-weight tournament.
Yes, that's 16 people in the tournament.
Okay, so still a regular tournament.
Yeah, 8 fights.
Then he went to Bellator MMA.
I love Bellator.
2018. And fought.
Ooh, fuck.
Yeah, he last fought in 2019 against
who?
Nelson.
In Bellator?
Yeah.
And he retired?
That's just his last fight. That means, I don't know if he's...
Oh, he's still fighting then.
Yeah.
He just probably doesn't because of COVID.
Well,
maybe
yeah,
maybe
way,
he enlisted in the Ukrainian army. Maybe. Huh. It's a theory. That leg is broken. He broke that guy's leg with a kick.
He announced his retirement after a stroke he had after fighting Nelson.
Oh, no.
He had a stroke in 2019.
Jesus Christ.
March 1st was when he announced.
Speaking of crazy shit happened in MMA fighters, Anthony Rumble Johnson died today. He's a huge, hugely famous light heavyweight from the UFC. I guess he had some condition that he's been battling for a while, and he fucking died today, bro. It's, like, actually pretty fucking sad because he was such a wonderful guy to fucking fight, to watch fight, and supposedly, like, one of the nicest guys ever. Yeah.
Right, number 2 in the world by Sherdog and ESPN.
He was such a good fighter, dude, and I didn't even know he was sick. Yeah, he fought last year. Like, he wasn't a retired fighter. He was still fighting.
Let's see.
We're going to end it on...
Fight Night 10.
Yeah. Dude, you don't need to go through his history on when he fought. He fought a lot, bro. He fought a lot. He's...
That's wild.
Yeah, man. He sucked.
Who's had the longest career?
Like, time in the ring?
Time in the ring.
Time in the ring is Frankie Edgar. I just fucking told you that. I guess there's no better way to end it than that way because I gotta fucking go.
All right,
yo. Y'all motherfuckers stay shitty. Just stay shitty. Good night, fucking pieces of shit.
Yay!